This is a stand-up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that makes counts down things that make you say the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden.
Hey, guys, we're all here at the same place at the same time.
This is crazy.
What?
I can't believe the three people who are supposed to be here every week are finally here.
It's
together.
Pretty crazy.
Finally, those phone line companies are just stop, you know, guzzling our dollars to call in.
Yeah.
This podcast. It's also the iPad we use for soundboard stuff is at 69% battery.
That's true.
Truly a blessed
day. Oh, that's what you were doing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Eli, during the intro theme song, Eli just kept pointing at the soundboard that I couldn't see.
I mean, I pointed once. I wasn't.
He did it for the entire time.
No, he did it the whole time.
It was crazy.
He was jumping up and down.
Retrospect, good move. I think the Udoya episode went well. It was a good idea not to have him pretend to be Kath the whole time.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed that.
He was in whiteface, but that was it.
He just physically, he was dressed as me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whiteface, drag, yeah. But just was Udoya.
Like, no, it's me. Yeah. It's me, Kath. It's like, that's not.
I was worried about listening to it because I'm a controlling, unpleasant person, and I thought I would be like annoyed not being able to be on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Did you record your own version where you also talk?
Like, you should record a rebuttal.
I agree, everyone.
But Udoya did great. He was so funny.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It was really good.
Congratulations. Not going to hear this.
So, yeah.
Absolutely not. No question. Not going to hear this.
Zero chance. But hey.
That would be the meanest thing. It's like, well, let's find out if he even listens.
Yes.
Tweeted us. It's fine.
No. Let's see if he gets mad later. So big news. I was bored this weekend and I found out that Hulu has a certain program that two of the people on this podcast listened to, and I had not listened to watch.
Gotham?
Had not watched. Yeah,
CBS's Gotham. The CW's Gotham.
A show mostly about the Penguin. That's right. No, it's actually a little something that we Shelby did the honor of creating us a great little sound here. So
the Forge Cast.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm
Patrick Monahan
officially
has watched
one of those people now.
We forged in
are
fire.
Are you an official sword respecter, dude?
I respect swords.
You respect the sword?
Yeah. Nice.
I saw you posting some cast memes, some forged cast memes.
Yeah, it's relatable stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
It went from just like, I guess I'm going to watch some of these. And then, you know, like, then a gap in text, and I think I was like playing video games, and then I would just like look at my phone and be like, "What? Why are they using the coal for? This is crazy."
I got a text, "Hey, I'm gonna try out this Forge and Fire thing," and then get on Twitter like 3 hours later, and there's just a meme of like that feel when they try to quench in water.
Yeah, that is probably the main. I think the main Forge and Fire meme, outside of like it will kill, it will cut, is water quench.
Mine is when they try to burn a hardwood handle.
Yeah, that makes me mad.
That makes me mad.
I haven't seen anybody try to quench directly in water. I don't think it might have happened once.
It's gonna happen, and it's gonna make you mad.
Yeah, but like
it never works.
But the burn and handle is just like they all are like it doesn't work.
Season.
And these guys were like, "I know you hate this." There was one guy who was like, "I know you hate this," and then he couldn't do it.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. There's a reason they hate it.
It's hardwood. You can't burn it in. It's not going to work.
It's not how wood works.
Yeah.
My other favorite thing that's frustrating that I love is when they put the epoxy on the handle, but then they realize it's 24-hour epoxy and not like 2-hour epoxy, and it just falls apart.
Or 5-minute epoxy.
They fuck up the epoxy all the time. Also, a lot of times they go, I don't know if we should give any background. I mean, anyone who's listening knows we love Forge and Fire. You know what it is? It's a sorge. A sorge? Yeah, what you call a sorge.
I have
forge.
Like a.
Yeah, it's a bladesmithing reality show where people make knives and then swords.
Can we display just the main catchphrase of Forged in Fire just to get people in the mood?
Yeah, this is after they use the blade in question on a ballistic gel dummy to see if
it would do fatal damage.
Or some bamboo.
No.
He says the other thing. But this is the final. This is what you want to hear if you're in the final round.
It will kill.
Yeah.
Or
Jamie, it will kill.
or
it'll kill.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one is the best hit because it's got the little drum fill.
There's a guy who lets you know that you have a fatal weapon.
I think you mean edge weapons expert, Doug Markaida.
Yeah.
A guy.
If it's just a guy, show some respect, Patty. Yeah, I absolutely have seen it not kill.
I don't know if I've ever seen a non-kill. I've seen non-cut.
There's a really good one where they make Scottish claymores, which are like the big two-handed swords. And both swords, edge weapons expert Doug Markaida, he will be referred to only by his full name, not as some guy.
Uh-huh.
And
EWE Doug Markaida.
He swings as hard as he can at the ballistics dummy with the claymore, and it just bends around it. Like, it just
completely, yeah, I remember like, that one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The ones that did not keel. The ones that don't keel are the ones, like, they have their edges ruined during the cut test, and then, like, they're not properly hardened. Like,
but usually the thrust gets it done, like, because then you get the blue goo.
Yeah, sometimes the blue goo comes out.
Some of the weapons they do, I don't know, like, the weapons get crazier as they go into further seasons. But it's like some of them, it's like a giant fish hook, and he like slides it into their body and then yanks it out, and literally like every organ pours out onto the floor, and he's like, it's effective. And like,
no shit, dude.
It's also crazy that, I mean, these are all genuine weapons, which is the only reason it's on the History Channel. But it's like, can you imagine, like right now, I feel like getting shot, I would be very scared that that would happen. Imagine if, like, going into battle when the thing that was going to happen...
Our soundboard's getting a phone
call.
Yeah, we just got a phone call on the soundboard.
We did invite Will Willis.
Yeah, I did. That was rogue. I didn't ask you guys about it, but I thought it would be a cool thing.
They film in Bushwick. We could probably get him.
Oh, really? Yeah. That was fun to watch his hair over the couple seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it starts off as, like, kind of like a wavy, slick back look, and then it gets longer and longer, and he just kind of lets it go... free, and then he has like a middle part, like just kind of hanging down, like covering his ears, and then it gets a little longer than that, and then it becomes like a pony nub. And I think where I'm at now is pony nub.
I think pony nub is what he stays with, and I think that's the correct decision. On
yeah,
his part.
He can pull it off.
The down on the ears was not a good look.
No. I don't like the center part.
Well, I'm like the handsome guy on the show, and I should look more like a nerd to fit in with the guys.
All the other nerds.
It was kind of a Kathy situation. It was like a Kathy type look. He also gets a lot more. The amount of bracelets on that show is unbelievable.
A lot of
bracelets. Yeah, just so many leather cuffs. Yeah. So many.
Are you into the Jason Knight arc, or are you still a Jay
Scott
Nielsen?
Yeah,
we were really getting deep into the Forgecast here.
Jason's coming, but what was the other guy? Jay Nielsen?
Master Bladesmith.
He was a tough critic. Very serious.
Yeah.
He's like, it's also funny because it's this subculture of... You see people get on the show, and they get to talk to Jay Nielsen, and they are genuinely starstruck.
Yeah.
Like, my God, this is ABS Master Bladesmith Jay Nielsen.
It's like, wow, you're telling me like a big fat guy with a big long beard is impressed and by a Bladesmith guy?
With a pocket watch and a vest.
Yeah. Have you gotten to the episode with Bert Foster yet?
No, I don't know by name.
Okay. Well, I mean, are you even watching?
I don't know.
There's
Bert
an episode
Foster.
With Bert Foster on. He's on the show twice. And
a guest judge?
No, he's a contestant, but he's clearly like a rock star in like the bladesmithing world. I don't think
and like
he's,
everyone's stoked that he's there.
Like like Jay Nielsen like giggles at one point. He's like, I mean, it's a great blade, but it's a Bert Foster blade. Like it's that like level.
What?
Like it's
it is like such a specific subculture.
Well, there was that.
I'm not gonna quote my bit on it, but I will say like. People that do this as their job, which is what everyone on the, like, because this is like a job. Like, these people are blacksmiths. They might not be bladesmiths full time, but they're at least blacksmiths.
A lot of farriers.
Yeah, a lot of farriers. Anyone who that's their job in 2018 is a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Character.
Like, we don't need this stuff. We don't need blades.
We don't need this.
We need anymore.
We don't need someone to work like 30 hours of these.
You get a sense of the talent pool too when there was the one guy on who was the fourth and final guy from his like dojo in Connecticut.
It's a super small world.
I better win because they all won. They didn't win because they had like the that was the one where they had like the shield as the final weapon, like the pointy shield.
The spike shield. Yep.
And it's like, well, if I were him, I'd be like, this blows. I don't get to make like a cool axe or something. I have to make like a shield with a spike in it. And he cracked under the pressure. So,
I'm so glad we won you over.
Forge was too hot for him.
You also get a not, completely not unsurprising number of kilts being worn by guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So many
unironically wear kilts.
Also, There's like one, at least one to two cases of heat exhaustion. Oh,
yeah.
Season. Where, like, it's always, I don't know why they think there's some guy comes on and is like, I'm 80. I've eaten nothing but bacon my entire life. I'm going to spend 3 hours in a 400 degree right. room.
And then that guy,
I'm definitely going to collapse.
And they bring that guy back in and he always gets cut first. Like, always.
Of course.
You're like, great job in there, but you did pass out for 2 hours. Yeah. So your blade is not completed.
Right. Oh, it's like, I like the way you powered through. Anyway, this thing sucks. Fuck yourself. You're out
yeah,
of
the other best one is, like it films in Bushwick in this warehouse. So one of the episodes, a guy does get super overheated and they have to take him outside to let him cool down. And once they take him outside, he's sitting there and you can see like in the background, there's like, you know, fucking like Variety coffee shop or whatever. There's like a blue bottle in the background while this guy's like in a kilt covered in sweat, like passed out. But what was it?
I can't remember now. Fuck.
Oh, no.
You ruined it.
Yeah. I did. I ruined it.
Just ran all over us.
Also,
I will say that it is an incredibly small world. Like, there's such a small pool of people for them to pull from.
Yeah.
And I know that because a friend of mine who's a comic is a blacksmith, and they approached him to be on the show, and he has never made a blade before.
There's, like you can tell because they have, like, within the second season, they're already having like fan favorites and like, redemption
edition.
Challenges. Yeah,
yeah,
they're, like,
they
out
totally
of
run out of people.
And yeah, Champions Edition was like the second episode of season two. Yeah. So you guys are already dipping back in.
They ran out really
four
fast.
On each episode. There's only six, like 24 of these guys.
There's also like, they're making clearly making like a valiant effort to like gender balance the show, but like.
Yeah, there's
it is
no
just
women
weird
that do
dudes
it.
Doing this.
I've seen like, I've and seen they have like 15 on episodes, one, like I've seen like three women.
Yeah, they had, and they have one woman on that is like halfway through her first bladesmithing class, like clearly is like in danger.
I remember what I was going to say. Yeah. One of my favorite things about the show is when somebody passes out for 2 hours and can't finish or like clearly doesn't know what they're doing. And at the end of the first round, they have to shoot all of the blades like on a stand, like very professionally, like footage of the workmanship. And it's really funny when someone just has a shitty hunk of metal that they have to like display
this
like it's
butter knife.
It's like, is this a caveman weapon? Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
It's so funny to me every time.
Also, you notice another great part from the, people I think like watch the first season and are too careful about it. From the first season is rampant with people making shit like way too small where they're like, your blade needs to be at least 12 inches long, and they show up and it's like
8.5.
Yeah, it's, they're like, this did need to be a foot longer.
Like, and the guy's like, fuck, I should have measured. It's like, what were you doing for 4 hours?
And it's always like a 2-inch blade and like a 14-inch tang, and he's like, oh no, I got ran out of time.
I do like the one thing that they always make sure to explain
the
every tang, time
by
is
the
tang
way.
Tang shows up every because they have the explanation of it needs to be between 9 and 11 inches. It's like not including the tang. And there's a little thing in the diagram that just says tang, which is just tang is what the handle goes around. That's all that is. But like they just assume that you don't know what a tang is. They assume everything else about it. And like there's a lot of like the commentary is very like assuming you know what's going on. It's like, what's he doing? He's got a blah, blah, blah. He hasn't done that. Oh, that's not, you know, he's going to get some serious delamination on that.
Right. That they don't explain, but tang they make sure you know.
Yeah. So everybody learns at least one new vocab word, which is nice.
Yeah.
But there's like it's great to watch for so many different reasons.
There's like a guy who makes like a it's like 15 pounds, like and it's like rounded, but it's supposed to be and that's like got a lot of grinding to do in the next round. It's like yeah dude, you got to make what could be considered a blade in the next round. Right
it's
now you have
a
like a
club.
Bar. Yeah. It's
there's that. There's also I love when they call something like. This is because some people are hobbyists and some people are professionals. So some people make blades, and then there are some guys that are clearly just like making like the most ridiculous like machete with like dragon claws on it. And they always call them zombie killers. They're like, oh, you made a real zombie killer. Yeah. And that's just like slang for like, you are a weird dude.
To me, is good. Epic bacon for the win.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a,
a big
it's
Reddit
an
guy.
Epic bacon. Twat waffle. The
Deadpool swearing.
Yeah. Deadpool swearing.
The Forge and Fire subreddit is just Reddit. It's the same. It's one.
There's no sub.
Yeah,
it's just Reddit.
They're all unfortunate.
Yeah, I always end up rooting for those guys who were like he's like, yeah, I'm like 70 years old. I make blades for my friends sometimes, and he makes like a little like camp knife or whatever. You know?
Yeah, like this is what I use. Like you use it to gut somebody.
Those guys rarely get it done. But you know, I think it's
no. Those guys kill it sometimes. I love
sometimes.
My favorite are farriers. Any farrier.
I like farriers. My favorite is that old black guy farrier. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. He's like an old black cowboy.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I loved him. He got caught really, early.
It's really a farrier is somebody who makes
horseshoes.
Do you think
we should talk for the entire time about specific fortune?
Regular podcast, cancel. Forgecast.
Yeah. No, but it's fun. It's on at least Hulu. I don't know where else it is. I think that's the only place.
History Channel, Roku Channel.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I watched it. Yeah.
It's good. It's a good way to pass the time.
I really do feel like I have a new respect for this like weird art form of blade making.
And you learn enough things to get mad at when they're doing them.
Like, you learn enough. It's one of those shows that you watch like three episodes and you're like, I could get to the second round. I know how to do this. Yeah. Like, you definitely
As long as I don't kill myself with the heated metal, I would know generally what to do. Unless it's one of those junkyard episodes, then I'm fucking screwed.
Then you're screwed.
I have researched this. There is a 2-day workshop in Red Hook. That they provide materials and you will leave with a completed blade by the end of the weekend. If you guys are down, I want to do it so bad.
It's like, yeah, we do know Damascus on this. It's like, this is the first day you've ever done this. Yeah. We are not doing Damascus.
Well,
canister Damascus.
My friend, my blacksmith friend, Enzo, he's also a very funny comedian, just plugging him, but he said when I go to Austin next time, he will make Damascus steel with me, and I'm so excited.
Are you going
to
do a
canister
fold?
Damascus?
Yeah, what's the
how many layers?
I don't know. I should ask him.
69 layers.
Probably 69 layers.
That's probably too many.
The nicest blade.
That's probably too many layers.
The legendary Hattori Hanzo 69-layer Damascus katana. Wakizashi.
If during your travels you encounter God will be killed.
Yeah.
Do it again.
The last one's this.
It'll kill.
Sorry, I tried to do a fireball. Tried to do
like
fucked it up.
He tried to do like the Jamaican air horn, but with the fireball.
Yeah.
Like, bam, bam, bam,
should we play the Forgecast thing again?
Yeah,
let's play us out.
The Forgecast.
Got some more to come on that, theoretically, I guess. I don't know. We could
that was
just
a pretty good,
every week,
solid 17-minute Forgecast.
Yeah,
we got
it done. All right, well.
We'll put that in the description. If you do not care about Forge and Fire, go to 17 minutes.
That's going to become our Mark Maron's talking about his cats. That's what it's going to be just talking about. Are they talking about Forge and Fire again?
Yeah.
It's like, this is like, they might as well be talking about complaining about the cable guy coming too late or something.
Boomer. What are his fucking cat's names?
I don't know. Who are your guys? Jay Nielsen?
My guys are. Edge Weapons Expert Doug Markina. ABA certified, what is Jay Nielsen?
ABS Master Bladesmith Jay Nielsen.
And Medieval Weapons Expert David Baker.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember his name, but he's the one that wears
the
fucking
Sanders
waistcoats
guy.
And shit.
Yeah. He's a guy who would not look very interesting, but he got like RPG facial hair, so he looks like much more interesting and kind of cool.
I like him though.
Yeah. He seems like a guy. He does all that.
Jay Nielsen is a real
Okay,
kid.
Now everybody skip to 18 minutes.
Okay, ready? Okay, here we go.
Number 5.
I really like, ready, okay.
It was almost exactly 18 minutes, so that's good. All right, so number 5 is a sad story that I sort of don't really understand the full details of what happened. Doesn't seem like it needed to go down the way it did.
Convincing start.
Yeah.
This first story I am not familiar with.
No, I'm familiar with it. So this is about the Pebbles, the emotional support hamster, which, okay, this is a thing that's happening with like airlines now where they're starting to finally revolt against people just bringing weird animals and saying that they need them for some reason.
Yeah, just an animal with a poncho, and they're like, this
right.
is, you know.
Which, like,
an animal with
there
a
was
poncho.
A lady who brought, like, the emotional support peacock.
Vests? I don't know.
And, like, peacocks are not, like, friendly animals, I don't think, right?
No, they're pretty mean, from what I know.
This is just somebody who didn't want to, like, pay to get it somewhere.
Birds are mean. We've discussed this before.
Yeah, birds are not friendly.
Birds are not cool.
So anyway.
Puffins maybe.
This is along the
line.
Because people.
They seem nice.
Because I think people were taking advantage of this, you know, whether or not they're being honest or not about it, but, like, bringing, like, emotional support pigs, which are then, like, running up and down the aisles and shit.
How excited would you be if you were on a plane and a pig was running up and down?
I would not be that mad about a pig running up and down.
Yeah.
I'd be delighted.
And then, like, you know, like the...
Getting into the peanuts?
Yeah. Like,
oh, it'd be great.
I mean, I know because my parents, when they bring Willie to and from, you know, Connecticut and Florida...
Can I interrupt very quickly? Yeah. I have a note from my roommate about Willie.
Okay.
She was like... You know, I don't know Patty. My roommate has not met you, but she was like, I was confused, and if any ladies are into Patty, he should probably clarify. You post pictures of your dog a lot. It makes it seem like you hang out with your parents every day.
Oh, interesting.
So if anyone is like worried about that, Patty's mom sends him pictures of the dog and he posts them.
No,
he is not hanging out with his family every single day.
I just live with my parents.
That would be the sickest, like if you had the Instagram account of like a jet setter, you know, all those like pictures of like your feet kicked up in first class.
Yeah.
Just because you're flying to your parents' house over and over and over. Yeah.
Those are pictures that are fed to me. So that's not, I'm not taking all those pictures.
She just wanted me to make it clear as a favor to you.
I appreciate that. I don't think the hand on my parents will be enough or will be needed to drive people away. I can take care of that all by myself, folks.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Pebbles will support hamster.
Yeah, so this girl, this young lady, Belen Aldecosia, was flying home from college. That's her name. I don't know.
Is that a tablet that was found?
Yes. But she she was flying Spirit Airlines, which, first mistake, expecting anything nice to come out of Spirit Airlines is not gonna work out. But she says she checked in advance multiple times. I guess she called some customer support rep and said, can I bring my pet hamster? And the person said, probably, like, I don't know, I guess. Like, I can't imagine it was, like, totally.
I'm
like,
sure this is definitely... they thought it was a prank, and they were just like, I'll fucking play it straight, because I don't give a shit. But yeah, you can bring your hamster. Bye.
And apparently the hamster was certified by her doctor as an emotional support animal, which, that to me is, like, the equivalent of, like, a doctor just, like, giving people drugs without, like, checking to see if they have any symptoms.
That's the weed card of emotional support animals.
Come on. But fine. Again, whatever. I don't know. I guess, like,
I mean, like
holding
a little
rat somehow makes her feel better.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, it makes sense that it would have, if it's her pet and she loves it, it would emotionally. There's lots of stuff you love that you can't bring on call, like, an emotional support thing.
This is my emotional support rifle.
Yeah.
Loaded rifle.
I feel so much safer and more at ease when I have my rifle.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll through the security check line and be like, this is actually my emotional support whiskey handle. I just emotionally feel a lot better if I drink this handle of whiskey on the plane.
Emotional support zombie killer, to go back to
this is my emotional support kukri.
Epic bit. Yeah, a lot of kukris. Okay, let's not get back into that. So she gets to the flight. And she's got the doctor's note or whatever that says she needs this hamster to feel
good. I really liked your description of hold this little rat.
Well, yeah, it's like the opposite of a rat.
Like, I know, but like, come on.
No, it's a little rat. Hold this little rat in your hand. Make you feel better.
I just imagine you.
It just kind of sits there and shivers.
I just imagine you like a bitchy flight attendant that's like, who's this little rat? Just like,
can like you get a that John rat Waters out of here, please? Time. Yeah.
Well, you got a filthy little rat.
Look, the story is not okay. So she gets on the plane, or she's told that she can't bring the animal on the flight, so she can't bring Pebbles with her. She's basically caught between a rock and a hard place here. Like, she's flying home for some.
She's
kind
caught
of
between a pebble a rat, and a hard place.
Oh yeah, God damn, it was right there.
Rat or pebble? Sorry.
Yeah, a rat and a hard pebble. Okay, so she she was flying home for a medical issue. She was told she couldn't get on the plane.
Flying home to get more hamsters.
With a hamster. it was actually for surgery for the hamster. But she had
go fix my little rat.
So it's like. So her friends were all far away, so she had no way to, like, no one to pawn it off on. It's like, can you watch?
So they were like,
Pebbles,
you cannot take this on the plane.
So
she's just standing in the airport holding a little rat.
She had no family. She's not old enough.
You got to chug the whole rat.
Right. She's not old enough to rent a car. So she's got this whole laundry list of what she can't. You know, she had no way to get. So an airline representative apparently suggested that she flush the hamster. Now.
Yeah, probably, but like as a joke.
I don't.
Here's
there's a couple things
joke.
About this that I find. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be serious. A thing what somebody would seriously say.
Well, the thing that confused me is, so I don't want to jump ahead, but apparently the flight attendant or whoever said, you can flush it or you can let it go outside, and she chose the one. You would think a beloved pet owner would not choose.
Right, that's what I mean.
I mean, how long is it going to live outside? It's going to get hit.
Like,
yeah,
for
but,
like, first of
yeah,
all.
Yeah, but you don't kill it yourself.
Right. You're free
now. You just
got
to go back and check it. Pebbles, you're free. Fine.
Yeah, put, just hide it in a bag.
Well, that's the thing. But,
you have to check it.
Yeah. But it's like, well, it's got to be like a gate agent, right? But here's the, I think if they said that, they probably were like, I don't give a shit, flush it. Like, just that.
Yeah, sort of like, but like, you're holding up the line and this isn't real.
A hamster's so small that like...
Sneak it in.
Yeah, this is like, it's like when someone... It's like someone trying to sneak, like your dumb friend trying to sneak like candy into a movie theater. And then it's like, I have some candy. Is that okay? And they're like, well, now I have to take your candy.
Yeah.
I don't care, but because you told me.
We get a bounty for all candy.
She ruined it for other four friends that also were trying to get hamsters on that plane. God damn it. Baricola, or what's her name?
Balin?
Rosetta Stone?
Balin? Rosetta Stone. Wow.
What is it? It's like Balin Curricula.
Balin Aldecosea.
That's a totally normal name.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know.
I also feel fine making fun of her name because I've seen a picture of her and I know I'm not being culturally insensitive.
All right.
I do want to say before we go on, I had the best version of emotional support animal possible on a plane when I was going to Austin. I was sitting in the window seat.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy sitting on the aisle seat. And in the middle seat, he had bought a seat for his pug. And that is who I sat next to for 3 hours.
Much better than a person.
It was so good.
I strongly would prefer that. To sit
was
next
it
to a
sitting
person.
Kind of like vertically?
His name was Bentley. He fucking ruled.
I feel like dogs don't like sitting up like that for that long.
He didn't.
Right?
He wasn't sitting up. He was sitting like a.
He was like a little loaf of bread.
Yeah, he was like a little loaf of bread. He just kind of curled up in the seat.
That's all pugs. Yeah. All pugs are. Yeah, just, he was basically a loaf of bread.
Pretty much. It was great.
I respect him. I'm glad he had a good flight.
I want to believe that if she had bought the Pebbles a seat, he would have been allowed.
I think so, but I think
that's crazy.
I mean,
I know, but can you imagine how funny that would look? You could, little hamster sitting with a little seatbelt on,
just in a wheel.
It's not gonna.
He's in the ball
the landing
thing.
Gear. No, he's in the landing gear, running as fast as he can.
That's the only way he's allowed to come.
Yeah.
So he can run.
I took that the wrong way for a second. I was like, ooh.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. That wasn't the joke.
Also, just put him in the little, you know.
But she says
the pocket in the front of you.
Yeah. Put it in the pocket with the Sharper Image catalog.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think she was kind of screwed because she gave up the story about that. She
wasn't
trying to sneak it on.
She thought it was legit.
Right.
So she
once you get up to the front and you're like the gate agent's like, no, you can't bring the hamster. It's like, okay, and then you leave and come back. It's like, you still have the hamster, don't you? It's like, no.
Walking all tight.
Yeah.
I mean, also, the hamster
is
an animal historically known for fitting an asshole. So I feel
that's
like if
true.
You're going to smell it. But I guess you couldn't love it quite as much if it had been in your asshole.
Because you wouldn't respect it anymore?
Like, I
guess.
Know.
You'd just be like...
But her description.
Probably not.
Her description.
I was hoping
what
for a
happened
laugh
was,
on that. You would, all right. I thought that was funny.
Well, the size of laugh is 1, 2, or 3 people. So
yeah, but
low.
I got none.
So she says one of the representatives started giving me little tips like, oh, you should just leave her or flush her down the toilet. Pretty good tips.
Yeah,
I wouldn't use
tips
to be the. Hey, here's a tip.
That's in WikiHow.
Kill your animal.
Yeah.
Kill the pet.
It's like VH1 where it pops up and it's like. She could shoot the hamster in the head.
So she considered letting Pebbles
shoot
go.
Shoot the hamster in the head.
Just
how do you pinpoint a hamster's body part to shoot?
With a red dot sight.
Very carefully.
He sniped the hamster.
But she thought it was more humane to flush Pebbles than to let Pebbles roam around outside, which I think was the wrong call.
Yeah. I would think.
I was going to... Yeah, I'm just gonna come out and say it.
Yeah,
like definite death versus like probable eventual death. I feel like you give him a chance.
You know, if there's two things that Pebbles loved, it was drowning and shooting through a tube real fast. So yeah. I thought I'd give her a real soldier's send off.
Yeah, and because everything this is like a, you know, national news story. Spirit has confirmed. But look, Spirit Airlines, you know, you got to pay a fee and not have to kill your pets. Like that's like the kind of airline this is. You know,
it's
like,
true.
Hey, you want to bring both your shoes on the plane? Well, that's $10. Yeah, you know, like the tickets are cheap, but yeah. So, you know, not the most compassionate airline to be trying this on, I guess. Yeah. But
R.I.P. Pebbles.
Yeah, Pebbles.
We miss you.
Could have gone out in a more. Could have had a chance to go out a little more valor. Could have been like a Disney movie. You know, if that feels like a kind of a Disney movie beginning.
That's what caused all this. You know, hubbub is that she was a military hamster.
Yeah.
And then some lady stood up on the plane and started singing the Pledge of Allegiance. They were playing taps as the toilet flushed. And then you flush the hamster and then you flush an American flag. Then you flush another toilet 21 times.
Yeah, you, you flush 21 bullets down the toilet.
You flush 7 toilets 3 times.
Yeah, just groups of 7 bullets, handfuls at a time.
I'm imagining her like letting pebbles go out like in like the arrivals, you know, part like mm-hmm. out by the, you know,
just immediately like, rolled over by a carry-on bag.
Like a hawk picks it up or something.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen
that squirrel thing?
The video of these people, these like the sweet old couple releasing a squirrel that they have nursed back to health onto a tree, and then immediately. A dog just grabs it off the tree and eats it. Yeah. Like right away.
There's also like that one of people like release a dove at their wedding and like a fucking peregrine falcon is like wham, just like dive bombs it super hard.
Sorry guys, nature horrifying, but
it's bad.
Yeah.
It's more natural than getting flushed down a toilet while you're alive. Yeah. So RIP Pebbles. Pebbles sent to a watery grave.
That's because if the hamster had been on the plane, all these
Pebbles and Osama bin Laden.
Pebbles the hamster, this. Dead at whatever age. Yeah.
Pebbles is on the plane. Now all these birds of prey, these raptors, are attacking the plane because they're trying to get to that sweet prey. Trying to get that hamster.
That then, sweet little rat meat. Yeah.
Right after she flushed the toilet,
it'll kill.
Already got our money's worth off that soundbite.
Edge
Thank
weapons
you, Shelby.
Expert.
Yeah, it's so going down the line of the people in Forge and Fire. First one's like, I made a wakizashi. Second's like, I made a kukri. Third's like, I made a traditional buoy. And the fourth is like, I made a filthy little rat.
Just swinging it by its tail. That stuff. It's like not doing any damage.
Put a hamster on the anvil. Off. Just put a hamster in the anvil and just crushes it with the first thing. You're like,
hitting a rat on coconuts. Like, it's not doing any damage to the coconuts.
For this challenge,
it's doing
you
a
have
lot
to make,
of damage to the rat.
For this challenge, you have to make a functional blade out of, and it's just a cage of hamsters.
If anyone from history is listening, we have some ideas.
We have some really, really good notes.
Definitely actionable ideas that will definitely work.
Forge and Fire is nothing compared to hamster roasters. Same set.
That was all the hamsters getting fried. Okay, let's keep this train moving here.
Number 4.
Okay, so number 4, this is like a pretty late breaking story. This happened like this afternoon. So did you guys see the Obama's portraits?
Yes.
The National Portrait Gallery. Kehinde Wiley did Barack's. I can't remember who did Michelle's. I liked Michelle's better personally, but that's not what we're talking about.
I thought the Obama one was cool. I thought it looked like the way in like Final Fantasy VI you could change the menu background to be like like the green leaves.
He also had that gun blade that he was carrying.
It was also,
I would like the portrait better if Obama had a gun blade that he was carrying.
That would actually kick
game
ass.
Game Master Anthony. Barack and all of his favorite video game characters.
Yeah, just like Kate Sith is just like in the painting. Yeah. So the painting, it's like he's, it looks like everyone made the same joke. It looks like he's got the Homer Simpson going into the shrub.
Yeah. He's sitting in front of a leafy background.
It looks cool. I like that it's different. Yeah. And it also makes all the right people really fucking mad.
Yeah.
Which to me
which is great.
The perfect. And that's part of why everything is so broken now, because that's the only thing that's good.
And that's like a fun thing about Kehinde Wiley too, is he did a bunch of art for Empire. He did like a bunch of similar portraits for Empire. He's like a very, very well-known black artist.
Yeah.
So people are obviously mad because people get mad anytime the Obamas do anything.
Yeah.
And Sean Hannity tweeted an extremely weird thing. This article from his staff. It says, controversy surrounding Kehinde Wiley's widely non-traditional portrait of the Commander-in-Chief broke out within minutes of its unveiling, with industry insiders claiming the artist secretly inserted his trademark technique, concealing images of sperm within his paintings.
Industry insiders.
Trademark technique.
I like that they say, immediately broke out. Like, literally, they yanked the cloth off the painting, and it was just that, like, I was like,
there's cum on it, jizz!
Like, just full, like, south.
Oh,
like,
God, they got the jizz guy.
Yeah.
And it's because he has a temple or a vein on his forehead
Which he has in real life.
Which he has in real life. And apparently it looks like a big sperm.
Yeah, if you're looking for sperm for some reason, you're going to find sperm.
I mean, a sperm shape is like a pretty, like, there's like one big fat end and then it gets skinny and there's a little skinny part. Like, it's like a lot of things could look like that.
Yeah. Also, like, it's a painting of
what you think sperm looks like.
It's a painting of the president. You would think there'd be at least some sort of sense of decorum. Maybe there isn't. Maybe even if that was his trademark technique, maybe you don't do it for the presidential portrait.
That's also not his trademark technique. Right, exactly. Technique.
But I'm just granting the first part of this insane conspiracy.
Sure.
Like Sean Hannity posted something before, like he posted the article about the sperm thing. He posted something along the lines of like, look, here's a painting from, like, you know, prior presidents, and here's Obama. It's like the inappropriate sexual undertones of Obama. It's like, what? You're seeing a guy in front of leaves.
Yeah. Like, it's a dude sitting on a chair, like, in front of leaves.
Like, just say it looks like pot that he used to smoke or something,
sure,
right?
Something.
You know, that's like sexual. You're just like, I'm too horny over this Obama painting. I'm fucking furious.
Well, that's
like,
what
flipping
happened.
Flipping over his desk. Like, I'm just, why am I so horny about this?
Part of the problem was that it turned out, like, Malia thought that that was her real dad, and he really had cum on his head, and she got really freaked out.
She got really upset.
And he was like, I thought my dad was being rolled up in a joint, my real dad, and someone was going to smoke him.
It's if you unfold the canvas from where it's stapled on the back, it's just Kathy Griffin cranking off onto Obama's head. And
I would love it if they unveiled the portrait and it was just a portrait of Obama cranking off. That would be so good.
Or just Kathy Griffin.
Or just Kathy Griffin.
It's just him, the way he is in those paintings by, like, the guy who did, like, the Forgotten Man painting, you know those? Where it's, like, all, like, the founding fathers are all, like, looking disapprovingly at Obama, and there's, like, the veteran on the bench who looks sad. There's, like, in one of those, Obama's just standing on the Constitution, and there's George Washington is, like, standing there with, like, oh, come on! Like, it should have just been that. He should have just gotten that guy to do it. It's like, yeah, man, totally. I want to get these guys so fucking mad.
Yeah. Trump's portrait should be done by, what's his name,
Ben Garrison? Should be done by fucking Hieronymus Bosch, folks.
No, Ben Garrison, where it's just him, just in him, a suit of armor.
Yeah. In a suit, like, of armor with, like a visible, like, 3-inch penis.
Yeah.
That guy,
3-foot penis, excuse me.
That, Ben Garrison, like, he has to, I almost admire him for being so open-minded that he can draw Trump as a handsome man. He has to take so many artistic liberties to make Trump look virile and healthy and still be recognizable as Trump. Like, that kind of is difficult.
Yeah. Well, his whole thing is really weird because he was not, like, the alt-right's cartoonist. Like, he was just like he was a conservative cartoonist, but people were, like, taking his stuff out of context and, like, inserting, like, the Jewish caricature into it, and like, basically, like, doing a bunch of, like, making it into, like, a bunch of, like, Nazi or, you know, Nazi shit. And he had to, like, say, like, this is not me, you know. So what he started doing, but eventually he just, like, gave up and started doing instead. He's just slid more and more into
he's
this,
just
like insane.
Well, it's where the money is.
Right. I mean, that's basically what's going on. Like, so
also, like,
credit to him, I guess, on that front. I don't know if it's necessarily honorable, but it's good business move.
Who gives a shit? Like, you're like, oh, he's a conservative cartoonist. They're a Democratic political cartoonist. Just erase whatever animal, like the GO, you know, like, erase the big cauldron that says, like, GOP, and just write Democrats on it. And you've now switched the alliance of this cartoon.
I do think we've sort of moved beyond the age when political cartoons can really do a whole lot in terms of saying something.
How do you become do you spend 4 years of art school just,
like,
drawing,
like, political cartoons
and
drawing, like,
donkeys?
Really extended metaphors that, like, don't really make a lot of
sense.
Well,
Ben Garrison makes it a point to label everything. So
right.
So there's just no mental
ambiguity
power
or problem
to interpret what's going on. He labels literally everything, like, to the point that
everything.
It's like there's, like, 100 words on the page in one cartoon.
Like, I do want
to
ask.
Maybe it's just to remind himself. He writes it all down and then he fills it in, like, a color by
He
numbers.
Has the memento. He has the memento thing.
Yeah.
So, like, in the middle of a cartoon,
amnesia?
He'll forget. It's not exactly amnesia, though. There's, like,
you're right. It's like the short term memory.
It's a specialized
loss.
Kind of amnesia. Yeah. Thank you.
I do want to ask a question, though, because, like, so if there's a secret sperm on Obama's head.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something that someone who didn't like Obama would do? Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Not if you're Sean Hannity. He's like, The ultimate term of respect coming on someone's head.
It's actually
just like my chums in college used to do to me.
It's a symbol of Obama when he used to be like a gay cocaine prostitute or whatever those people think. Like when he, you know, like that. Like,
but then like if he's secretly putting that into the thing, why would he do that if he liked Obama? Wouldn't you want to keep that a secret?
No, it's like flaunting it.
Oh, okay. It's like, fuck you, Sean Hannity. Yeah. Look how blatant I can be with my semen.
It's like the way these guys hate pride parades, because it's like, ugh, why do you have to, ugh, you know, like that.
God, why do you have to rub it in my face with your giant sperm on your forehead?
Yeah. I'm just trying to stand on Greenwich Avenue in peace, okay? And you guys have to get all horny all over each other. I just had to come down here on the day of the pride parade, and you guys are just in my face.
Why do you guys keep putting pictures of this on my computer?
I just had to walk into Rawhide on the day of the gay, on day of pride, and you guys have to be all gay all over each other.
Look, I had an errand to run at the cock. Why are you all...
How dare you people?
I got this. My folders are filled with gay pornography. I can't get it out.
Who put this here?
Yeah.
Oh.
So well, long story short, it's definitely sperm. We got them.
It's a secret Illuminati cum.
Yep.
And Sean Hannity nailed it. And it's so good that he's a... regular news person who believes shit like
this. It's actually a reference to Seth Rich.
Oh.
It'll take a little while to get to that point, but I'm sure we'll figure it out some way.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm sure 4chan has already... I think apparently it came like straight from 4chan and then somebody on Hannity, because that's the thing now. There's enough of these like dipshits in actual positions where they can actually influence things that just go on 4chan and they're like, oh, what are these like, self-described autists like saying right now? Like, you know, like...
4chan. No, I mean, 4chan is known for not
honesty
lying.
And, the real fine, giving you the real information.
Yeah.
Why do these dudes only do the those ones? Why can't, you know, Sean Hannity also fall for the one that's like, if you mix ammonia and bleach together, crystals will grow? Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he do the you can recharge your phone in the microwave one? Like, do all those.
Yeah. Write an article about that, Sean Hannity.
He only looks for stuff that that reinforces his own beliefs, obviously. So it's...
Well, why doesn't he believe that you can recharge a phone in a microwave?
It's very funny if you found it on 4chan, because if he's that mad about like gay stuff, it's like the amount of fucking gay porn you have to go through on 4chan. It's unbelievable. He's like, I got to look through all this. Hannity's on his radar. I just discovered something called Yaoi, and I'm not happy about it. He's just fucking finding out about hentai. Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah. Forgecast part two. No.
Surprise.
No, this next story is like, I don't even know quite how to describe it because it sounds made up, but it's not. It requires quite a bit of backstory. The actual event that happened is like this is what it's like that sort of thing where they can't even the headline to this should just be like, okay, hold on. Like, it's like there's so much here because the story is that the head of the Main Street Fire Station 55 Social Club at Disneyland is suing the head of the White Rabbit Social Club at Disneyland.
So Disney, hold on.
See, that's the why it should be the tone. Hold on. The subtitle should be hold on.
Disney has social clubs.
Yes. So it's like a trickle down. It's like this tree of information that's fantastic. Because first you're like, okay, there's someone suing who. Wait, what is this White Rabbit Social Club? And then you find out that Disney is riddled with basically motorcycle gangs, but instead of motorcycles, that you know, they're just walking around Disneyland.
And you're talking about Disneyland, the place that you bring children.
I'm talking about the greatest place on earth. Stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's make sure there's not some other Disneyland I wasn't aware of.
No. Yeah, this is the same one that is for children.
Okay.
Yeah, for children and then certain adults.
Do they have biker gang outfits?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you asked because they absolutely do. Straight out of Sons of Anarchy.
So they have like cuts with
a
like,
lot of denim.
With like it's just Toad's like... Wild Ride on the back and shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They do have that. They're wearing like there's tons of pictures of them here and none of them are doing this ironically or they're like bikers that like went straight but missed the social aspects, so they started this.
Well, this
because they all are like big, like long hair, bearded. They're all wearing like you know, like they look like a biker gang that just happens to love Disneyland.
I think this really drives home something that I've always felt about biker gangs is it really highlights the fact that in order to be like a biker guy that looks like that, you have to be really into arts and crafts. Because you have to make
patches on.
Yeah, you need to know how to sew. You need to know how to restore leather. Like, what are you talking about?
Your old lady does that.
Your old lady does it?
Your old lady.
Katie Seagal. How do you say your last name?
I think it's Seagal.
Katie Seagal does that.
Katie Seagal does Perlman. All of it.
You smoke a big cigar, and then you're Hellboy in two great movies. But they all, yeah, they have like these whole things. They have titles. They have where it should say motorcycle club.
Are the gangs like race based, like in Sons of Anarchy? It's like we're the black guys who like Disney World. Like, we're the Hispanic guys. We're the white guys.
Is just it go all guys?
Really, they just go really weird with it. They're like we're the Aladdins, and you're like this feels very wrong.
It looks like there's like families, so it's not exactly
okay.
The Sons of Agrabah. Come on,
I'd watch that show.
Yeah, like this guy's here, and he looks absolutely like the founder of a real motorcycle club.
He looks like
the except says, for like where there would be skulls, there are Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, and it says founder, and this guy's got like Disney pins all over. He, of course, is the founder of Flynn's Riders. Flynn being a character in the movie Tangled.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though. They don't go with like the classic; they go with like the more recent Disney. That's
yeah,
that's even
that's
weirder.
Crazy.
Yeah,
Tangled
yeah.
is a new property. Like, and you got to know that they have rivalries over that.
Because if you like pick, like, an Flynn. Old Disney thing, you can at least, like, sort of, like, you, like, build in artificial sort of history, right?
Yeah.
To, like, your thing. I mean, this is, like...
There's the Bangarang Bunch, and they're, like...
The old ladies
their
are all
flag
called the Pixies.
Is like, a pix. It's like a Tinkerbell, but with, like...
Big,
it's important
like
to
long
note,
eyelashes.
Too... It's important to note, too, that they
That's
are
cool.
using Disney font for all of their
yeah.
like,
not,
labels.
Not a very... Like, which is Walt Disney's signature. It's not a very functional font.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it
a terrible
looks like
font.
Shit, pretty much. But it's, like, identifiably Disney.
It's the first font you download when you, like, download Photoshop and you go to, like, dafont.com.
Okay, so we've established what these are.
Yeah.
Why is one suing the other?
Okay. I mean, okay, so we're talking about the White Rabbits versus the Main Street Fire Station 55. Okay.
One of those is a better name than the other.
Well, one of them is way longer than the other.
The
White Rabbits
like the
is
crazy
good.
Idiots.
There's one called the Big Bad Wolves, and their jacket does look cool.
That's actually really
it
sick.
It looks really
they
cool.
They had the Big Bad Wolf.
And
I would,
look at his little, he has a little daughter, but he's getting her into the social club life so early.
I would wear a leather jacket that said Big Bad Wolves on the back. I would definitely wear that.
This guy just looks like every open micer in Brooklyn.
Maybe he
okay.
is. So they're suing.
They're
what
suing
happened?
Because they were trying to host. So the White Rabbits, it starts off nice. The White Rabbits are trying to host a charity walk on the premises. Also, how were they able to set up? Disneyland is like famously tightly controlled.
That's
how
what
they
I don't get.
Able to set up this huge infrastructure within Disneyland.
If you pay for the tickets, they let you in, I guess, right?
Yeah, but
wait,
do
are
they
these
have
guys
like
paying
a clubhouse?
Every day? You must be able to get like a year-long ticket to Disneyland.
Yeah, you can get a season's pass.
Okay.
But can you set up a clubhouse?
Also, how are these not the fattest people in the world? All you can eat is like funnel cakes and like ice cream shaped like Mickey's head.
It's from all the rumbling and stuff.
The
it's
rumbling?
Good, it's good
yeah.
cardio.
they've got like switch wands. Like,
yeah, right.
Anyway, so the White Rabbits tried to have a charity walk on the premises. Seems like something that everyone would be fine with. You just walk around in Disney World and, like, I don't know, help some
I'm
charity.
Excited to find out how this goes south, because that's a very funny start to a litigious situation.
Wait, sorry. An even better one. The White Rabbits are the bad guys. I am mistaken. The Main Street Fire Station 55 Club tried to do the charity walk.
Yeah, okay.
At which point, the members of the White Rabbits, including their leader, Jacob Fight, which is a good name.
That's a really good name for, hey, I should start a motorcycle club.
Yeah.
They,
my name's Jake Fight. Guess what I do?
Yeah. My name,
welcome
is,
to
my
motorcycle
my name
club.
Is a true statement.
Yeah, welcome to my motorcycle club. My name's Jake Fight. This is my friend, John Wheel. Like Freddy Engine.
That would be like a Disney Engine. Thing. Okay, so they're like, we're going to have a charity walk, and the White Rabbits are like, you're going to have to, because they have turf. In the, like,
that's what I mean.
Like
how do they
the Main
turf?
Street Fire Station 55 Club, their turf is the fake fire station in Disneyland. And so this charity walk was going to go through the White Rabbit's turf, which I assume is the fucking Dippin' Dot stand or whatever. And they said that they'd have to pay them $500 to ensure protection for the people taking place in the walk.
Real nice charity walk you got here.
Yeah.
A shame if protection. Something happened to it.
Yeah.
That so they were going to jump them because they went through their turf?
Yeah. They're going to jump the charity walk.
Yeah. Because they got a bunch of prospects in the White Rabbits. Yeah. They need to like earn their
need to prove cut. Themselves. Yeah.
So they're going to jump them. You're going to get jumped in.
Yeah. You know, they're going to hold it. They're going to keep up their notoriety within Disneyland by like decking some kid in leg braces at a charity walk or whatever. Just so $500 to ensure protection. Where is Disney? Where is right. it?
I thought Disney was like a fascist state. This like, why are they not swooping
There's
in
like no
here?
Garbage on the ground. Yeah. Like, it's like an insane place.
Everything is made of security cameras.
I mean, like, let's go through some of these other names here. I feel like, let's see. The Main Street Elite. I assume that's Main Street USA.
Yeah, Main Street is their story. Turf.
The Wonderland Warriors. The Big Bad Wolves. Mickey's Little Monsters. Something tells
they like
me,
Lady Gaga and Disney.
Something tells me that this is like the equivalent of when you're about to have a fight in the schoolyard or like whatever, and you go tell the teacher. The teacher's like, all right, everybody's in trouble. this is the end of these gangs. The second that you get news in the paper about people running a protection racket in fucking Disneyland, I think that's when Disney's like, hey, guess what? You're all banned. And for people like this, that hurts, I assume. Yeah. If you like Disneyland enough to make a jean jacket with all Disney stuff on it and form a club, you're probably going to be pretty bummed out when you get banned. But I don't see any other outcome here.
Yeah.
It's like when you no more clubs. That's it.
This is like when you like formed like a gang with your friends in like sixth grade and you were called like the bad guys and you would like carve bad guys into desks.
Oh, even better. The Main Street Fire Station, this is definitely the end. Disneyland is named as a defendant. Like, you should have stopped this protection racket. It's like, well, guess what? Easy way to stop it. You're all banned forever.
Yeah.
This is one way to guarantee this will never happen again.
If only they all wore clothing that indicated they were part of this.
I'm not giving up my cut, man. Yeah.
I also like imagining that there's one there's one like, you know, fucking crew that's turf is the teacup ride, the like topsy turvies, and they're just fucking so sick all the time. Just coming up to Rumble be like, you guys wanna
they're just walking all wobbly everywhere. Yeah. Like, I'm imagining like a greaser sitting on the edge of a spinning teacup scowling. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it.
Like, there's like a bunch of them. You're like going through this Small World ride and you're like, are all these? There seem like there's more. And there's just a bunch of greasers also in the like
pretending in to be display. Animatronic.
Yeah. Just doing, you know.
It's like
combing their pompadour.
Yeah. They're having like a biker. They're having like one of the gangs having a party. And like somebody else hijacks one of those like go-karts and does like a drive-by shootout, and it's like a bunch of stuffed animals getting like blown up, and there's just stuffing going everywhere. And instead of cops and obscurity, it's like the people who like pretend to be like the Disney princesses and princes are like, all right, move it along, pal, you're out of here. Just this idea of like this weird sort of like extrajudicial like police state. Like, it's like, oh, there's no real cops in here. It's Disneyland law, man. Pretty sure that doesn't exist. You're in California.
Disney law.
This is Anaheim.
This is a sovereign nation.
There's a mayor. There's a police state.
There's a sovereign fascist nation within California.
Am I being detained? Excuse me, sir. am I being detained? I ask you again. Am I being detained?
Just Goofy getting whipped with a chain.
Yeah. Gosh, girl.
Just all that is like not like only giving out their like name and rank and no other information.
Yeah. Oh god.
That's really good. That was amazing.
I can't really talk like it though.
It seems like it hurts.
So we'll stick with Mickey. Yeah. Sovereign citizen Mickey Mouse, folks.
Just running unlicensed funnel cake stands.
Fuck the police. all right. So yeah, I think that's
they're smuggling in like fucking fur coats into Disney.
So, yeah.
It's all like Chewbacca skins because it's Star Wars owns Disney now.
It's all Figment, the purple the Epcot dragon.
What?
No, there's like a mascot. That was the one that I thought was the coolest when I was a kid.
Yeah, you nerd. You liked Epcot?
I didn't go to Epcot, but I liked the guy.
I liked Epcot. My parents got mad at me because I went to Disneyland and I wouldn't leave Epcot.
Oh, that's lame shit.
Like, you loser.
There's a whole thing. And I was playing a Berenstain Bears video game. I was like, no! Just literally.
It's because you loved Epcot too much.
Slamming chicken tenders on the machine. Shitting my pants.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Is Berenstain Bears even a Disney property? This doesn't even make any sense.
It's definitely not.
It's just an arcade in Epcot. That's where I was.
So you were in like the non-Disney part of Disney. Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
I didn't have a especially like, strong connection to Disney.
This kid sucks for all this Disney shit. Like, Mickey comes over to you. It's like, hey, you want to get a picture? Are you just going to play the... All right, well, see you. Fair enough. All right, so anyway, long story short, if you wanted to join or form one of these gangs, I assume they are already banned. Within 5 minutes of this lawsuit hitting whoever's desk, whatever general counsel at Disney, it's like, yeah. What the fuck is this? All right, this is not allowed anymore, whatever yeah. this is.
Yeah. We're done with this.
No more groups.
Yeah, it is, it's exactly like what you said. It's just you tell the teacher, and they're like, none of you get recess. You're yeah. done.
No, if you want to join the gang, you have to go pluck one of Donald Duck's feathers and return with it.
Watch out, he gets really mad. Yeah. And if he just got out of the shower, he'll have a towel on, but not a shirt. You know, it'll be harder to get under there, so be careful about that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's... that was good. All right, let's...
Number two.
I mean, what is this? After the Disney thing. No, just kidding.
Don't make it harder for me or anything. Don't, you know.
Yeah, just sandbagging her after the brutal.
Number two is about Turning Point USA, our favorite conservative campus thought leader, also known as Toilet Paper USA.
Yeah, a really great Coke-funded AstroTurf organization.
Yeah, just that the kids love. Every single thing I've seen from Turning Point USA is a cell phone. I have never seen them make a single meme or like piece of content that doesn't make them look way lamer yeah. and dumber than anyone they're mad at.
I like the ones where they use like a stock photo of like inquisitive African-American woman. And yeah. it's like, this person is not part of TPUSA. Yeah. It's yeah. just like, so why if Bernie Sanders wants socialism, has socialism worked out so well? And it's just like, this is not a real person. Like you can't like buy stock photos. And I think they actually have stopped doing it because they realize that like somebody could fucking sue you for
yeah.
this. Like
yeah.
this is not, you know.
Well, they keep getting caught. Like I remember the specific one, that woman, there's like an inquisitive looking black woman, and someone found her Twitter and she was like, yeah, no, fuck them. Like that's, they bought my picture off a website.
They're just a dentist for no reason. Like,
it's just like two people shaking hands and holding like folders and generic business outfits. Yeah. And they're like, we hate socialism and we're agreeing on it.
Because there's no business in socialism. So.
Yeah. So Turning Point USA, we've talked about them on the show before because they were the ones that did the safe space thing where they all diaped up.
The famous Kent State diaper protest. Now the saddest thing to ever happen at Kent State. It actually has taken over.
A dark stain on student activism at Kent State. yeah, so that's them. And this story is about the Kent State Turning Point USA. The president of it has issued this screed that is very, it's very like a mad college kid. Like it's just, there's a lot of talk about drama. Like the drama is mentioned a lot. Yeah. Basically, she was like, look, we planned this whole thing, this whole diaper protest with you. And then as soon as everyone thought it was lame, you all were like, I don't know, man. She did all of that. And then she had to like take the fall for it. And she's really upset about it.
Why
and
would
so
you
she
share
quit.
The,
like, what?
I would like to inform everyone that I am leaving Turning Point USA. As some of you may have noticed earlier today, I was hanging from the flagpole by my underwear.
That's like exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you got fucked over by all these people.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. So she's like real mad and
she makes multiple references directly to Charlie Kirk about how he should be the one wearing the diapers.
Also, it's so sad because it's, again, in the grand tradition of Toilet Paper USA, just the biggest self-owned because it's all just about how no one at the national headquarters will text her back.
Right.
Like, they all just stopped talking.
It used to be
her.
About the memes, not about drama.
Yeah. Attention, I am looking for new friends. Anyone wants to be my friend?
And like there was a great part where they were talking about like the money that they like were being, they were applying for like a grant or something from TPUSA because they have all this conservative dark money, you know, that is just used to fund these stupid things. And one of the other chapters like responded to their chapter on Twitter and just said like, wait, you were getting paid? So wait, this might be a fracturing in the rank and file of Toilet Paper USA. It remains to be seen how far this
previously
goes.
Titanium solid.
Well, they were all on the same team because they were all just owning the libs, you know. So that's a powerful bond.
That's true, and I'm excited to see where this goes because I think, college kids are not, and this is true on the left and the right. I think in college, everybody's a fucking idiot who can't organize or run anything. Yeah. So
there's all this discourse among like adults in like the New York Times op-ed section and shit about like what's going on college campus. It's like, these people are morons. No, do you remember what you were like when you were 18 to 22?
Yeah. That's the thing is like, and some of them are very well-intentioned morons who will stop being morons very soon.
Yeah.
But,
and some of them are probably not morons, but by and large, the average college kid is like, you know, or what are my friends doing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Is a very self-serious, very convicted, dumb person. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. That's you're not smart at that age. It's okay.
Yeah. I think the only thing worse is like people who are older who like somehow, like they read some Tumblr post and they're like, wow, cracked it wide open. I'm like, that was written in like study hall by like a 16-year-old.
And it's okay. That's the thing is we should let them do it. Like, yeah. It's totally fine. You need that time to like figure your shit out and find yourself and figure out what you believe. So like stop writing articles about people staging protests that you think are silly. Let them do it. Yeah. And then they'll stop. Like, that's what happens.
Well, that's it's also,
unless they're wearing diapers, then take pictures and make fun of them forever.
Yeah. Well, she also claimed the diaper thing was a different organization, which I think is funny. Like,
really?
She
said it was all their idea, I thought.
I think there was something about, like, they basically left her out to dry.
Right. Well, they said, like, we have no, we were not involved in this. And she was like, no, you were involved in this. And then it happened. And then now you're pretending
the
you
drama,
don't know me.
The drama's too labyrinthine for me, clearly. I got confused.
It's very, like,
there's a lot of good drama.
Byzantine.
I mean, I have a feeling that Charlie Kirk will not be responding to this in any way because there's no way that he responds to this and comes off looking like a victim or looking good, which is kind of the only reason he ever does anything. Which sort of ties into if we can just slide the conversation along.
He wants to look good and he buys those khakis? Give me a break.
Ladies and gentlemen,
eats much?
Ladies and gentlemen,
bitch.
It'll kill.
Yeah.
The fireball is also very good for roasting.
Yeah, that's true. We got to do one of these just for good measure because we haven't done it yet. But we haven't found a lot of places to naturally insert these.
Moon pay.
There's never been a place.
No, but it's just, you know, I feel remiss. You know, it's like my one sacred job here while I'm on the thing.
But the other thing I wanted to say about those like thing of like all these like, you know, young kids is also like thanks to Twitter and most of this like. It's presented as like the way to interact online is to just like scream opinions on Twitter. And that's just like the way it's like, that's what everybody does. You go on Twitter and you just like make super like concrete, like
very dogmatic
statements.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, you just don't do that. And then, you know, they're like, I don't know. Like if I make enough of these crazy statements, I could also be a stand up comedian. like that's, I don't, is there anybody you like, I'm trying to think of people that still write like jokes and there's so few.
No one writes jokes anymore. I think everyone just writes takes.
I think that Fave Star crew is probably still writing jokes.
No, they went the hardest.
Really?
Dude, those
some
are like,
of them are like, some of them are like Trump guys now. Like the,
wait,
like,
am I?
Like
I don't
the
think
true,
we're talking
like
the same people.
The serious Fave Star guys, like the guys who all had like the hat pulled down or like the goatee, the guys who would like constantly retweet other people and like occasionally
I'm gonna toot my own horn and
we can't figure out who we're talking about because none of us can say names because we're on a podcast.
I also that to me is so not a stare, like I don't, oh, that the type of guy with their hat pulled down and a goatee, I have no idea what that guy
is. They all have the same avatar. This is a thing that was like maybe 2014 era.
Yeah, I was actually busy doing comedy then and not being on Twitter.
Well,
so
there you go.
It's okay, now I just sit on Twitter all day. Yeah. So
I like we should, now this is actually a Twitter podcast, this is the nightmare that we've tried to make sure was I love a guy who's smoking a cig in his avatar.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a
pretty
coolest.
Cool. Can't,
cool.
Can't take that cig out for a second to take a photo.
Well, speaking of Twitter, our top story is unfortunately / fortunately also Twitter.
Yeah, it kind of moves beyond it quickly, but yeah, let's
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
It's the wonderful boy, friend of the show, Jesse Farrar, who got the president mad, we can only assume. This is a Twitter thing that happened. Charlie Kirk, who is the Toilet Paper USA guy we were just talking about, the 23-year-old guy who doesn't like to cry victim and doesn't like to complain about anything and is not a snowflake, but
definitely
mentions that he didn't get into West Point because somebody got in because of affirmative action.
He's not triggered, though.
He's not definitely not triggered. Yeah. He, you know, stuff like that. But he continued to not be a victim when he posted a thing whining about, I've heard from so many conservative students that their teachers are giving them lower grades just because they're conservative. This isn't right. Which is like, first of all, not sort of, you can't back it up at all unless you like show me like evidence that happened.
Well, then they tried to show evidence.
Oh, that persuasive essay.
That was another one of the, his underlings at one of the branches. That was like an essay somebody put out.
And it was like, see, look, they're refuting my argument that the flag and patriotism aren't the same thing. And it's like, yeah, no, they aren't the same thing. You're an idiot. Yeah. Like, that's just true.
Somebody wrote like
you've been raised like, yeah, you, of course you're confused on how to write a solid persuasive essay that's supported by research because you've been told you've been reading them for years and you haven't been.
It's like these sicko lib profs are gently correcting my grammar and telling me this essay has no real argument to it.
It's like if you're like, oh, I know how to write. I've read so many books, but then like you didn't know that someone had rearranged all the pages in your book so they were out of order and that's what you thought books were, was just like a jumble of words.
This dude wrote this complaint, which again is not verifiable and just kind of like a stupid thing because there are not professors who are just like, what are you, Republican? Well, guess what, you know, like that's not, I mean it's, look, if it does happen, that's unprofessional, I guess, but also like you're not gonna ever find out that directly, I feel like. But Jesse Farrar, the king, responded and said, that's not, let me read the exact post here. He responded to Charlie and said, very unprofessional, I didn't have it pulled up. I apologize, everyone.
We can cut.
He said, they shouldn't do that. It's not right. They should hold the conservative students' heads underwater until they stop breathing instead, period. Now, if you know him, you can hear it in his voice. Maybe if you listen to his podcast, your Kickstarter sucks. Very funny. Super deadpan. The period especially is like an indicator. This is like a very not serious statement.
Yeah.
And then he got like the immediate quote retweet from Charlie Kirk, who never fails to see a chance to make himself look like he's being victimized, and said like, wow, pretty messed up. You know, I guess this is a joke. And Jesse responded, I'm not joking, period. And then it went from there basically to, you know, wow, this is what it's like on the left. They want to kill everyone who doesn't have the same opinions as them. And then the usual suspects, like the bad faith avalanche started with people screenshotting Jesse's post saying, wow, pretty crazy. These guys who are like the masters of logic, like that Rubin Report guy. And like,
can I ask a question real quick? Is Jesse Farrar the same one who got in trouble for saying he would run over Hillary Clinton with a monster truck?
Yeah, that's why he's the best, because within like 2 weeks, he got all the liberals mad, and then he got all conservatives mad.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you for pointing that out. He's not going to run over Hillary Clinton with a monster truck. He is going to run over Hillary Clinton with Gravedigger.
Well, he said something like, you know what Hillary Clinton should do? Like, knit herself a monster truck and go drive it into a lake. Who cares about him, that old bitch or something like that? And that was considered like a bannable threat or something, which is another classic. But basically this dude is like, I'm sure he's joking, but imagine if conservatives made a joke like that against liberals, because they love to do that. Like, you know,
right.
If it was the other side, if somebody on the conservative side said, and it's not like they don't all joke about throwing communists out of helicopters and stuff.
Yeah.
But why don't we have White History Month? Yeah. That is their single argument. Well, what if it was different? That's it. That's all they've got.
And so
there was a single instance of them just screaming at Jews to get back in the oven, then they'd take it all back.
Exactly.
I think the helicopter thing is definitely a thing that's fashionable among these people. They're not quite as far right as like get back in the oven. These are just like dipshit, like free market, like you know, conservatives.
Those are their alts, though.
It's their version of a horny alt, they just tell people
to get back in the oven.
So Jesse said, "I am not joking," and this guy quote retweeted that. And so basically, everyone's like, "Well, we got him, folks." And then they emailed Deadspin, because the new thing is they always come for your job.
Yeah, right?
That's a key part of this. So Jesse Farrar said this online. Is this the kind of thing that's acceptable? And that was not even like Charlie Kirk. That was some guy that works for IJR, International Journal Review, or something like that. And Barry Pichesky responded, basically, while I don't agree with his methods, I can't argue with the fact that if he did that, the world would be a better place. Something like that.
Just doubling down. Yeah.
And so this all leads to, like, this is on a Thursday, and then on Friday, on Fox and Friends, the most powerful and most important news program in the world.
Of course.
They had like a little segment about, how Charlie Kirk was basically threatened with murder by this sicko, Jesse Farrar. And so what that means is that there is a definitely non-zero, I would say at least 40% chance that the president of the United States got mad about Jesse Farrar. Yeah. And I think that's like top tier, you know. And he said, like,
top tier makes you say the name of the podcast, I think. Like, this is a weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is extremely weird.
Well, it's just like, it's one of those, like, everything could not be stupider. This is the stupidest possible outcome of all this is.
Yes.
The president being like, Jesse Farrar, sick, you know, like, Rob Wisman said, like, just, jobless Jesse, you know.
Just Trump fuming watching a Twitch stream of him playing Hearthstone.
Right, he's watching the Go Off Kings, getting really mad.
Do we have clips of this?
Yeah, we have clips from the air here. So we have, let's see, the first, there's a also, few of them.
I want to say before we get a clip part that, like, I also love that he... Imagine them, because he just physically describes how you would drown someone, like them reading it and then coming to like this, like Jimmy Stewart style, like,
yeah,
well, that's drowning.
Yeah. Like, well, the best people are like, anyone knows that if you hold someone's head underwater, they immediately stop breathing. So checkmate. It's like, well, if you keep holding underwater, they still die.
Yeah. That's...
Welcome to the field of logic. And it's just a chessboard covered in shit smears.
Even out logic.
I use a turd for each chess piece. Care to play me? Yeah, like, no, you're the weirdest person I've ever met.
So some nice clips from Fox and Friends here. We got a...
They should hold the conservative students' heads underwater until they stop breathing instead.
Now, this is like the equivalent of like somebody saying like, hey, I'm going to put you in a diaper, man. Like, it's like that level of like stupid response.
I'm
going to
run you over with Gravedigger.
Right. Yeah. And that's being read by, you know, one of the Fox and Friends guys as a serious
tearfully thing. And anxiously.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's a real threat.
Well, again, because
you imagine the genocide of conservative students would make the world a better place.
Right. And that's...
Yeah, that's how it gets turned out.
Charlie is speaking the truth. He doesn't know it.
Yeah, he's going to hold your head. Don't... They're shying away from lakesides. Any sort of ponds.
They're afraid of bodies
of
water.
If this keeps conservatives off the beach, I will be thrilled. Yeah. You don't get to enjoy the beach if you're
Forget
conservative.
Forget sharks. This is the new Jaws. Conservatives are afraid that Jesse Farrar is going to hold their head underwater.
They're all taking baths and being like, try to hold my head underwater, Jesse. Like taking pictures.
That's the new thing to own the lids. You just take a nude photo of yourself in a bath.
Yeah. Oh yeah, try to hold my head, and then they somehow drown themselves.
I'm just imagining the depressing, disgusting shower bath situation in most conservative college student housing.
I mean,
probably not
any
just anyone that age.
Any
is
college
be gross
student housing.
He
pretty bad.
He's been banned for a week, so he hasn't been able to post. But some of the replies have been really funny. If you can go and like see them, because he deleted the original "hold your head underwater" thing. But there was a guy who posted like a picture of like a lineup against a brick wall of like six like young rodeo boys, and was like, "Try one of his pals." Like, try him to do what? Like, what is this?
Rodeo boys?
This is like a normal.
Try and drown one of six men.
It's like, try to suck my dick, pal. I mean, I'll try to drown me. Like, what? Like, what is the, you know? Just unironic, if you come drown me, I'll kill you. I'm armed.
You gonna put all six of our heads underwater, buddy? Right. You got six arms, bitch?
So you cross over. It's a crossover from people that should know better to people that are just literally too stupid to understand what irony is and what, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I would like to politely request before we end the podcast that if conservatives could start posting photos of them taking baths to own the libs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate that.
The head above water challenge.
Yep.
And your dick has to be in
there. It has to just be your head above. It's a bubble bath with your head and your dick out. And that's it. Just.
Just how many phones would get dropped in the bathtub?
it'd be worth it just for that.
Do you want? That reminds me. There's quite a story to maybe.
I said, "Well, Jesse must be joking. I don't think it's very funny."
There we go.
That's pretty good. That one is a good, reasonable one. I should tell you guys about. This is like every other time. Like one of the proudest moments of my life, and then it's definitely underwhelming. But it reminded me of that with just the dick poking out of the bubbles. Was like speaking of like really gross college housing. That's also what you do when you live in like you know we've talked about guy houses before, and we were like. In my college house, and there was like a prank going on throughout the house to like, you know, like call out to your friend and be like, "Hey, dude!" And then he'd turn around and your dick and balls would be out, and they'd be pranked. You know, it'd be pretty good.
They're super pranked.
Yeah, super just duper pranked.
Getting to see a great hog. Yeah, super pranked.
And then I
Betty's shaking his head at me.
Yeah, and then you know, like it had gone, and at this point, no one would turn around to talk to anyone. It was basically from like from that movie, Waiting.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
it ruined all your relationships. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I think it was my friend Danny. I was like, "Hey, Danny, dude, turn around." And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Come on, dude, turn around." And he's like, "Your dick is out. I'm not turning around." And I was like, "My dick isn't out." And he was like, "Yes, it is." And I was like, "I will give you $100 if my dick is out." And he's like, "No, you won't." And I was like, "I guarantee you, I will give you $100. I promise." And he's like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then he turned around and just my balls were out. And it was a victory for the ages.
He was logicked. You logicked him.
Yeah. How about that for the field of
discourse? I want everyone to know.
It'll kill.
God damn it.
I'm really bad at the soundboard.
You really are.
I'm so impatient that I click it twice really quickly.
You were in college 7 years ago?
Well, let's not get into numbers.
Well, just like this is something. This is like a major achievement in your life. But you are still telling the story.
Yeah, it was probably 2011, 2012. I'm trying to remember the house it took part in. Yeah.
I'm just wondering what else is on that list of top Eli moments, if that's really up there.
I don't know. Let's count the hours of wrestling that you've got on your belt.
Fair.
Waste your life much? Anyways, it's just a fireball.
I'm just sitting here doing like the Michael Jackson Thriller like popcorn gif. That's me during this roast.
I mean, I'm missing out on so much. I could be showing people my balls.
Your balls? Yeah. It's pretty fun. And you won't ever get to do it.
I mean, if you showed somebody balls, it would be a pretty good own. You'd be like, "Wait, what? Hang on."
I like that this roast, the final roast is just, "You don't have balls."
Oh, yeah.
Checkmate.
Nice balls, idiot.
It'll kill.
And now high five me in the microphone.
I did it.
Suck it.
All right, well, I think that's a good place to end, right?
Sure.
You know,
is it?
We
I mean, I think probably 10 minutes ago would have been a good place to end.
Well, you know, we're still, it's our first day. We'll use the
this
Trump
is
administration
our first episode.
Excuse. This is our first day. We're still getting used to the ways of Washington. All right, well, that was it. We would like it if you subscribe and give us good reviews and all that stuff on iTunes. We are also on social media stuff as What a Time Pod, or you can email us at whatatimepodcast@gmail.com with stories and stuff like that. I'm Patty Moe on the stuff. Eli and I run a show every Friday at Karma at 8:30. Mm-hmm. It'll be posted on my account or whatever, so check it out. That's it for me.
Yep. I'm just Eli Uden on Twitter, and then Chili's Restaurant on Instagram. Restaurants.
Chili's Restaurants.
The account of just one Chili's restaurant.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
What if you were like a family restaurant and you named it Chili's and then you were constantly mad at everyone for not understanding?
For coming in. Yeah. Not that. We only have chili. Look, we serve chili. They should change their name.
I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything. I have shows coming up in New York. My calendar is on my Twitter page. I have two other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, and a new one with Rachel Millman called WrestleSplania, where I teach her about wrestling stuff. Listen to those, and come see me perform, and thank you if you came to see me in Austin. I had a great time. And I think that's everything, right?
I think that does it.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Well, good to see you guys again.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
I'll see if we can do two in a row.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we can.
Okay,
we
bye.
Should,
cool. Bye.